All right, guys, let's get this party started here. This is for my wife. I know I'm going to lose it. How's it going, Nick? Hey, you see, you're here in town? Nice, man. This guy's dedicated. I like it. It's great to have you, man. Neil, that's awesome. All right, guys, we're going to have some fun tonight, I think. That's my... In a moment, we're going to shift gears to... Who wants to be the secretary for the group? Who's good? Emma? Oh. Okay. All right. That's great. If you need help, ask Emma. Okay. All right, guys, you can turn to John chapter. I hope you guys will enjoy this as much as I enjoyed thinking about how this is going to go. So John chapter 18. Hey, Tyler. What's going on, buddy? Bob? Yes, ma'am. Nope. No, I'll tell you when we actually shift into where we need the secretary. Thank you. Good question. Very good question. Technology is great as long as the person that has it knows how to run it. All right. John chapter 18, let's pick it up verses 12 through 27. We're particularly keen on verses 15 through 27. So you guys know the first run through, I want you guys to consider anything that jumps out at you in this. Okay? And that's basically going to be our Bible study tonight, is what you guys come up with, and then we're going to explore some things tonight. It's going to be fun. So, come up with some good stuff is what I'm saying. Alright. John 18. Let's start in verse 12 and we'll everybody take a verse till we get through 27. So, Mikhail, would you start?
So the Roman guard and the commanders and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him.
And led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year.
Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was expedient for one man to die on behalf of the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known as the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. So Peter was standing at the door outside, so the other disciple, who was known as the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and got the Then the disciple, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of his new disciples, are you?" He said, "I am." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a careful fire for the coals and warming themselves. And Peter and all the other them standing and having them.
My first ten questions is about the disciples and about his teaching.
Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always saw the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret."
Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said.
When he said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you pray?" So Thomas sent him on to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and watching himself, so he said to him, "You are not also one of the disciples, my name is that I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?"
Peter then denied it again, immediately rose to pray.
Okay. So, what'd you come up with, guys? I'll give you a second. I'll try to... I don't remember exactly what setting I'm supposed to have this on, but I will stick it out here into the middle, so...
definitely a lot of politicking going on, isn't there? That never changes, man. It's the same story. John. Exactly.
I mean, so it's like no one at all.
Yeah, that's a great point, John. That actually happened at the end of John chapter 11 is where we find that out after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Caiaphas, some people say Caiaphas, I don't care. I just say Caiaphas. But his counsel is for one man to die on behalf of the people. Like, it's much better for... But it's a prophecy. Like, God spoke through him being the high priest. And that's a cool thing, guys. You read, like, the book of Revelation, and even the enemies of God, God still carries out his plan. It is a neat thing. So here he is, an enemy. And he's running the plan of God. So that's a really neat point, actually. What else? Leah.
But he didn't
know. Right. Yeah, definitely. I think when like you said, Peter's faith picture really crumbled back there in the garden. And now he's still, it's not like this guy's totally given up. Because he wants to be, he's checking out the proceedings. Like, what's going on? He still wants to see. But now, instead of being living by faith, he's being driven and motivated by fear. And so it causes him those denials. And guys, I think there's really good spiritual application for all of us in our life. I know there's been times I'm not giving up. Like, I still want to be near Jesus and see what's going on. But when you're not in living by faith, then you can be wrongly motivated by fear and you make all the wrong choices. So that's something for all of us to learn a lesson from Peter's poor example here. John. I'm glad somebody... Any guesses? Who's this other disciple they're talking about? John. It's cool. Actually, when John writes this, he never calls himself by name. He calls himself either the disciple whom Jesus loved, or in this case, another disciple. So, I can't actually look and show you book, chapter, verse, but you can tell when you just read through it in one setting. John's writing it. He's the eyewitness of it. But he never described himself other than the disciple whom Jesus loved or here another disciple saw. Yeah. Guys, one thing I love about the scriptures is it's so real. When you get stuff like this and you slow it down and you say, that's exactly, like, you picture yourself there. And some of those little details that are sprinkled in there, you're picturing your mind. It's like, that, if you're there, like, this is so conceivable. This is the way it would play out. And I love that about the scriptures. It's just, even some of the weird things that, how they say, fact is stranger than fiction. Sometimes you get some of the facts in the scripts that seem a little weird at first glance, but then you play it out, and it's like, that's exactly the way that would happen in real life. People aren't just making this up. So, it is neat to think about. Nikki. Yeah, he's wondering. It's like, and now they're recognizing me. I'm going to be in there with him if I'm, Yeah, it's exactly. That's, so there are lots of neat details like that. Will.
I think the just a point where Peter did not
Yeah, really, I think, again, really applicable for us, because Peter talked tough. Like, he was ready. I'm ready to die. And I think he was, in one sense. Like, he whips out the sword. He's outnumbered. Like, I'm ready to die with you. But then when Jesus tells him to put the sword back, like, now he's all messed up. And now he's not ready to die, because this wasn't the way he planned it going down. So... But like you say, I mean, Jesus knew this was going to happen. And guys, if you just think about it in your own personal lives, like, don't, I gotta be careful the way I say this, because I don't want to make it sound like there's any excuse for sin. But like, Jesus isn't surprised by mistakes you've made. Like, he wasn't surprised by Peter. Like, he knew. Jesus actually knew this failure was going to happen. Didn't take away Peter's free choice, but Jesus saw ahead of time. Because Jesus knows in our lives. So one of the great stories we follow through on this wasn't the end of the story. Peter didn't let this be the end of the story. God knew it wasn't the end of the story. Jesus knew it wasn't the end of the story. So in your own lives, like, if you have failed and messed up, like, go ahead and confess to the Lord. You're not going to shock him. Okay? He already knows. He's seen whatever it is you've done. And he even knew it was going to... And then get back on track so you can make it. So it's actually in here. I mean, some of these things are in here for us. It is easy to talk tough when you're in this building. I find it really easy, you know. Hey, we're on scene. Oh, yeah, we got this. We're ready to die for everything. You walk out there and you get sideswiped by something, and, you know, it's like picking yourself up off the pavement and saying, okay, hey, we got to give this a run again. So, you know, I am thankful for the examples of that in the scripture. What, anything else jump out at anybody? Rick. Yeah. Yep. And he's so calm. Like you said, his patience, and he's calm, he's there, and he you know, really, it's interesting. Every time Jesus is on trial, they end up being on trial. You know, I mean, he just turns us around. You know, I've spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues, in the temple where all the Jews came to come together. I spoke nothing in secret. Why are you asking me? Ask them. They know what I said. Now, and actually there's something really interesting too right before that in verse 19. The high priest therefore questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. This is a really key point. If Jesus doesn't have disciples, nobody cares about his teaching. Like, what's the old DC Talk song about the guy with the tat and the big bat belly or whatever, you know, Jesus freak. You know, and the picture you get from that guy, there's a guy out there, you know, he's talking about Jesus, but, like, nobody's really listening to that dude. You know, nobody really cares too much what he's saying, other than whatever ruckus like the drunk person was that was causing in the middle of the road today, Emma, right? You know, but when you have Jesus, the point is Jesus had disciples, and these disciples were doing something, and now these guys in power are feeling threatened by it, and that's why they care. He's just a crazy dude; they don't care. But because he has disciples. And in some ways, guys, it's encouraging. It's also, you know, hopefully motivating in the right ways. Like, the more impact we actually have the greater the opposition is going to be. You know what I mean by that? Like, when you're not getting too much done, you're flying under the radar of pretty much everybody. But you actually start getting some stuff done, where it starts impacting the community. You know, now, you know, there's going to be a debate about immersion. They can't just blow you off, right? Now they got to start, and they'll, you know. Anyways, this is an example. So I find that interesting too. Anything else? Okay, let's have some fun. So here's what I want. We'll do this together. We just read John's account, okay, and we're going to come back and get details from John's account in a second. But there's some differences on the surface about Jesus' trial and Peter's denials here in the gospel accounts. So, like, I don't know how your guys' brains work, but, you know, sometimes you read Matthew, by the time you read Mark, by the time you read Luke, and by the time you read John, it's far enough apart that you might not really, some of those differences might not jump out at you, but sometimes you'd be like, no, wait a second. That's not the way I remember that. And you go and you look at one, and it's like, hey, there seems to be something different here. How does this work? How does this... And then you either just say, ah, it works, and go on your way. Or you say, hey, let's figure out how this works. So tonight, let's figure out how it works. I think it'll be kind of fun. So, let's see. We will turn, first of all... I'm just going to open up my parallel just for the fun of it here. This is neat too, actually. If you guys, now with everything online, you can get this, but this is kind of fun. It's Harmony of the Gospels, and it just has like chronologically, as the events happen, the Gospels side by side. So it's kind of neat. You can do an easy, quick comparison. It's a fun resource that I have. But let's do Matthew's account first. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And what we're going to look at, Amber, what I want you to keep track of here, and we'll talk about it, so you don't have to like do it all on your own. We'll talk about it, but what I want you to write down for us, what we're looking at, guys, is, okay, hey, where did the trial take place? And what are the three denials that are spoken of? Okay? So in Matthew's account, let's read Matthew 26. Let's do 57 through 68. And Will, can I pick on you to read all those? Matthew 26, 57 through 68, and boom it out in case there are people listening. I don't know if I have this set up right. So here, actually, maybe we'll just...
Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you now have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." They spat on his face and beat him with their fists. Another slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hit you?"
Okay, so all of this section, the only thing I want us to figure out is where does this trial take place? According to Matthew's account. Before who? Yeah. Before Caiaphas, and then what else did you say? Okay. So the elders are there, but this is before Caiaphas, isn't it? I mean, this is in his presence, I'm saying. This is in the presence of Caiaphas. Matthew's account says nothing about a trip to Annas, the high priest. Okay. Whose courtyard is this? Courtyard of the high priest. And who's the high priest here? Caiaphas, right? So this is where this trial takes place. Now, let's jump down verses 69 through 75. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Okay, let's talk about the three denials here. So Peter's in the courtyard of Caiaphas, is what we get from Matthew's account, right? And there's a denial here. Who brings this up? Who? Servant girl. Thank you. I can't figure out how I'm trying to say it. But what? When Peter makes the denial, who does he make it to? Like, who's saying something that's causing him to bring out? The first one is the servant girl, right? How about the second one? Another servant girl. And how about the third one? Some bystanders. Bystanders. Did you write those down? Would you write those down for me, please? So, servant girl, bystanders in Matthew's account. All right? We would do Mark, Luke, and John, but since we read John, are there some things in your guys' mind from John that are being like, something's... Let's go back and read John's again real quick. So we're going to do John next, Amber, and then we'll... John 18. So I'm just going to read verses 12 and 13, and then I'm going to jump down to 24. So John 18, 12 and 13. So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. So guys, from the Jewish law, Annas should have been the high priest. The politically appointed high priest was Caiaphas. Okay, so the Romans with the Jews said, okay, but Annas is the oldest living guy. He should be the high priest. If you actually look in the Old Testament, there's nothing that ever tells you when a high priest is supposed to retire or anything. And a matter of fact, the cities of refuge and stuff, person has to stay in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest. The implication is a high priest is a high priest until they die. But now there's politics going on. So Annas still he still recognizes authority by the Jews. That's why they go there first. Caiaphas is the politically appointed high priest, who's a relative here, son-in-law of Annas. Okay? But you guys see, according to John's account, they go to Annas first. And then jump down to... That's a good question. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's something we should have brought up. Something to jump down. John, guys, is just a fisherman. He's got some connections. Okay? This guy's got an in, right? With the high priest. And from John's the one who knows, because he's the guy that's known, and so it's Annas. Now, they're extended family, so my guess is he's known to all of them, actually. And we'll kind of come back to that thought. Is it Caiaphas? Yeah. Well, jump down with me, guys, to 24. So after the discussion with Annas, the high priest. In verse 24, Annas therefore sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Okay. So now, John's account doesn't tell you what happened before Caiaphas. He just says that was the next place he went. Matthew's account, we saw Caiaphas, right? Whose courtyard was this? No. Ooh, we have to get our investigative stuff out. Yeah, how's this working? Because John gets into the courtyard of Annas, the high priest, and he lets Peter in, right? So, this is the courtyard of Annas, the high priest, but when we read Matthew's account, you get the idea it's the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest. Hey, what do you think? Any ideas? How would that work? You're on to something, John. This didn't happen. The rooster isn't doing this twice, two different places. Peter's not sitting in two different courtyards. So what conclusion can we come to? Possibility of a time frame issue. What else? Aha! They probably live in the same complex. It's the same courtyard. Right? That answers, all of a sudden, we don't have any problems now with that part. That would solve our whole problem. Okay? Which makes sense. They are father-in-law and son-in-law. So, that's not too tough. I mean, once you see it, like, yeah, that's a possibility. What else? So he actually, go back to John 18, verse 13. So I know a little bit of history too that I pulled in. But in verse 13, led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. So John's telling, when he says that year, he's telling you Caiaphas was the politically appointed high priest. Because you weren't supposed to be just high priest that year. So, and we know there's some history that I don't have in front of me, but Annas was the recognized high priest because the lineage, like he was in that. Annas was. So he was the recognized high priest by the Jews, and that's why they take him there. They're still recognizing his authority, even though he's not the political one in power by the Romans. So. Okay, so we're good on the courtyard? Okay, now how about these denials? Let's see here. Let's do order here. Verse 17 and 18 of John 18. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves, and Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. So two questions. First of all, according to John's account, who the denials made first in front of whom? Slave girl. So same thing, right? So write that down. First denial, slave girl. But guys, time frame according to John, when does this happen? Before he's led to Caiaphas, right? Okay, so if you're looking at this, like time frame, okay. And then the next two denials you see after he's mentioned after they send him to Caiaphas. So verse 25 and 26, oh, that's the third one. Wait a second. Yes, so 25, verse 25, you see bystanders, right? They said, therefore, to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" So, let's just say they. Okay, I think bystanders is a good way of saying that, bystanders. And then verse 26, who is it?
one of the slaves of the high priest, or being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? That seems like a man. Because he's in the garden when this goes down, right? So there's a slave. Doesn't say slave girl. It says slave. So are you got those down, Amber? Of course. Okay, what you got for John? Okay. Yes. Dragon? Okay. How about, let's do Mark's account. Mark chapter 14. Does anybody else have fun trying to figure this kind of stuff out or not? Okay. All right, Mark 14. And let's just... I'm going to just read verses 53 and 54. Mark 14, 53 and 54. They led Jesus away to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Mark doesn't tell us who the high priest is. He just says the high priest. He never names him. Okay? But if you follow the rest of this down, it looks like what Matthew's account is before Caiaphas. But Mark never names him, just says the high priest, and Peter's in the courtyard. I think we already solved the courtyard issue. Okay, so let's jump down to verse 66. And 66 through 68. Mikhail, would you read 66 through 68?
As Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied him, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. And he went out unto the court.
So who's this?
Servant girl.
And this is the one who, like, this is the one who let him in, right? We kind of got that from one of the accounts. I forget which one. Okay. So she kind of, like, probably saw him when he came in and then came back like, hey, like, aren't you one of these? Okay. Verse 69. Well, let's do 69 through 71. John's thinking he's got this figured out. Caleb, would you read 69 through 71? Okay, so let's actually pause there. So who's next? Okay. It's the maid, the servant girl, like, could be a different one, but it seems like it's the same. Seems like it's the same one, but I think it's a little inconclusive. But she's saying to the bystanders, this is one of them. And again, he was a knight. Now, this is interesting. Okay, Amber. Matthew's account. Who's the second one? The same servant girl? Another servant girl. Okay. In Mark's account, or in John's account, it was bystanders. Notice here in Mark's account, the slave girl says to the bystanders, this is one of them, and he's denying it. Do you see how that... They're both. This is where it's coming from. So there's not a contradiction because she's actually saying to the bystanders, who then probably one of them says it to Jesus or to Peter and he denies it. You guys tracking with me? The servant girls, yeah, stirring the pot. That's right, John. It was the servant girl in the courtyard with the something tongue, yeah. Okay. Okay, pick it back up, Caleb, in 70. Okay, so who is it, the third one? According to Mark's account. Bystanders. Okay, now, what did you say?
And who do we have left? Luke? Luke's account? All right, let's go to Luke chapter 22. And let's see, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following in the distance. And after they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. So again, Luke doesn't specify who the high priest is. Okay. Let's see, who can I pick on here? Kendra, would you read 56 and 57? Okay, so who is it for the first one? Servant girl. Okay. Verse 58. Hollis, you want to read 58? Okay, so notice the first time when Peter denies it, says, woman, I do not know him. And what's he say this time? Man, I am not. So this, he just says another saw him, but it seems like from his response, it says a man. I mean, just if I could, I think we could let it go in a general sense if he wouldn't have said woman a couple verses earlier, right? Emma. Yeah. Okay. Wow. You had some caps on here. I like it. All right. And then 59 and 60. Nadia, would you do those? Okay. So, who's the third one here? Another man. So, okay. I think we're kind of already figuring this out a little bit, but can you see why it's kind of worth sorting through? Because when you first go through it, it seems like there's some inconsistency. So, Amber, can I see that? Are you done with your notes? Okay. I can have you talk and just decipher for us, and they'll do that. So, do you guys all feel good about the courtyard thing? Annas and Caiaphas, they must be sharing the same courtyard. That is the only logical conclusion, and it's not far-fetched at all. It makes sense. Okay. So, they're related. If you're in the Philippines, it makes perfect sense, right, Julie? we're definitely living in the same complex. Okay, so, all right, you ready for me to fire some questions at you, Amber? Okay, so the first one according to Matthew, the first denial came in, like, who's the other character? So Matthew, first one's the servant girl, Mark. Yeah, I want one. Okay, Luke. And John. So, hey, first one, servant girl, servant girl, servant girl. Woo, we got this. All right, second one, Matthew. Matthew says servant girl, second one. Mark says same servant girl, okay. Luke, a man, and John, one of the bystanders. What did you guys come up with for that one?
Well,
And one of them,
Peter must have heard it, actually, or say that.
Well, he might have, but I think there's some man that called him out on it. Right? Somebody that hurt, one of the bystanders then takes it the next level and says, yeah, you were one of them. Right? Okay, and then the third one. Matthew, yep. A bystander. Mark. Luke. A man. John. So, slave. So that one, were they all man, 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 and man? Slave of the high priest? Okay. So, it does all kind of sort itself out, right? That was the high, that was John's account, right? The slave of the high priest? And the other ones, it all matched up where it said man in those ones? Oh, okay. Matthew said bystander, Mark said man, Luke said man, and John said it was slave of the high priest. Okay. So, what? Slave girl's a woman. She's stirring the pot. So, this is what's interesting, okay? This guy, the conclusion this guy comes to, which is a possibility, but I don't think so, because I think we got it resolved. He doesn't think about it as being in the same courtyard. He never goes there. He says, okay, Jesus' prediction of a threefold denial by Peter need not exclude a fourth denial. This guy thinks there's four. He says each writer, including John, records three denials to show the prediction's fulfillment, but John records only two denials at the house of Caiaphas as compared to three described by the others. Okay, well, if they share the same courtyard, it's the same place. And here's what I think. Okay, John records one of these, and I believe the way he's writing, one of these happened while Jesus is still before Annas, the high priest. The other guys never mention Annas, the high priest. They just say he's before the high priest or even before Caiaphas. But in the meantime, they're telling you, hey, this is what's going on here. So it's like it's a scene of the trial and then a scene of the denials. It's not like, okay, here's the trials. Here's the trial, and then here's the denials. Okay. I think John's account, the way he puts it, you can definitely come to the conclusion one of those denials is while Jesus is still before Annas, the high priest. But the fact that
the last one, Jesus goes
across the courtyard. Yeah. So Peter's obviously in the courtyard of Caiaphas. So I think there's three. I don't think you have to have four. He is right. It wouldn't mean that there couldn't be a fourth. But I think it all works itself out if you think your way through it. And here's his point is, the other guys are only keying in on Caiaphas in his trial, and they all speak of three denials. Well, John's very clear. One of those denials happened with before Annas, the high priest. Actually, there's even two possibilities there. I should be careful. The way I'm reading it from John is one of them's happening in Annas the high priest, but that there's another possibility, actually. Go to John 18. Yeah, and I think John's the only eyewitness. I think John's the only, he would have been the only eyewitness here. I don't think Matthew, Mark, or Luke would have been here, but they're recounting information. But But here's what John and Peter were both. So Mark's actually is probably from Peter's source, actually. Let me clarify this. Right. Yeah, I want to come. I'm gonna try to say it three times. But let's think about this, guys. If you actually look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when it tells you what's going on with those denials when Jesus is on trial there before Caiaphas, it doesn't say like there's nothing the way that that's put together that wouldn't say one of those trials, if they're in the same courtyard, they're just keying in on the trial before Caiaphas because he's the official one. Okay. But they're still telling what happened in the courtyard, and they can be talking about something that happened in the first part of that, even before he actually is standing before Caiaphas. So that's what I think. Okay. The other possibility is John's in because and this is a very actual, very possible, strong possibility too, because of the way John writes. When you've been tracking through this book. So in John 18, 15 and 16, Simon Peter was following Jesus, so was another disciple. That disciple is known as the high priest, entered with Jesus in the court of the high priest, but Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought in Peter. The slave girl, therefore, who kept the door, said to Peter. So the slave girl is the doorkeeper in the first one of these. Now, the way John says this, you think it's happening right now, but John has a lot of little parenthetical things in this book. He could be telling, okay, this is the slave girl. This denial could have actually happened later, when he's before Caiaphas, and John's just making sure you make the connection of who this slave girl is, and he tells you who it is when he's talking about the girl who opened the door. So those are really two different possibilities. Long and the short of it is, guys, I don't think it matters which one of these possibilities is true. What I want you to see is what sometimes people want to say are contradictions in the Bible. They're actual, like this one, there's a few different possibilities, the way it could have played out, that there would be no contradiction at all in the accounts.
They both knew that they were going to Jesus. They had to. And that they probably were together discussing what they were going to do when he came.
The only thing that makes that doesn't allow that is when it says then they, so they go to Annas first and then they send him bound to Caiaphas. John tells us that. So it could be the house next door, which is probably what it is. Here's Annas, we got this going on here. Now all we do is send him to the house next door. And now it's before Caiaphas. But they probably had consulted. That's probably true. The main thing I want you guys to get out of this, I'll be right with you, Rich. I want you guys to see, hey, you can sort through this and you start thinking about how would this work? It's kind of fun, I think. And it sometimes when people throw, that's a contradiction in the Bible, that's a contradiction. Actually, we saw at least two different ways that this could have played out with no contradictions whatsoever. So I just wanted to, hopefully you guys saw that tonight, and it's worth sorting through some of that. Rich. Yeah, I think so. That's I like the way he said that. Yeah, I do think Mark's account, Mark and Peter were super close, and Mark's account, Peter's his source, but Peter, that's, you know, Mark's in a hurry, and so, you know, Peter isn't necessarily going to put in that detail that John had to come say But the other guys wouldn't have even necessarily known it. So. All right, was it fun for something different tonight? All right. Mikkel, would you close with a word of prayer, bud?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, ask God, thank you for your word and really the light that we see in it, Lord, and see us get different perspectives, different angles, and different guys who are involved, Lord. And you really know that put it all together and have your word, the truth, that we can really stand on. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you be with us and bless us up ways tonight. Thank you for Luke, Bill, and Larry for their efforts and their work in putting this together and sharing with us tonight. Give some name. Amen.
Amen. One final thing I got to say. I hope you can see it too, like in real life. This is the way this would play out. You do have somebody stirring the pot. You have somebody who then says the bystanders. You always have the loud, the one guy who's going to, oh yeah, that was you. What, you know, it's just like, it's exactly the way that when you play it out, it's the way it would happen. And so, just cool. Bible rings true again.